Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. We're in our second hour here. At 4:30, I'm going to be taking your legal questions here, really like 4:35. As you may know, and I haven't had a show in so many months, it could be we have some new listeners. I've been practicing law for 39 years, and although I don't know the answer to everything, I can certainly try to help steer you in the right direction, give you some links to some resources, and refer you to the right place. And if you ever want to call me outside of the radio show, I'm happy to do that if you'd rather to speak in private. The best way to do it is to email me, because then I can send you a link or I can send you some information, and I can send you a referral to a source that I have, who I know and I had trust, and I know maybe practices in your neck of the woods, wherever that might be. Best way to do it is WGN at AskKarenConti.com, Ask Karen, K-A-R-E-N, C-O-N-T-I.com, and I will be happy to help you and steer you in the right direction. But right now, I want to talk about a really interesting, yet another healthcare-related issue today. Is today's National Pharmacist Day. And I don't mean to bash our pharmacists, because I have a lot of friends who are pharmacists, and I do love and adore the ones who wait on me at the various stores. But I want to say that pharmacy malpractice is more common than you think. When I look at these statistics, 1 out of 10 prescriptions may be filled incorrectly, potentially causing harm to patients. And so I want to talk to an expert in the field to talk a little bit about, number one, how to avoid this issue, and number two, you know, why is this happening, and what are the different ways that a prescription can be wrongfully filled. And with us, we're very lucky to have Sarah King. Sarah King is one of the best malpractice attorneys in the state, and she works as a partner in the esteemed Clifford Law Offices. You may know Bob Clifford from some of the high-profile cases that we've seen in the last 4 decades here in Chicago. If there's a prominent case worth a plane crash or a successful verdict, we have seen it in Clifford Law Offices. And I welcome Sarah King to our show. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me today. It's great to be here.
Great. I know you're busy and you have a lot of things going on. we all do. But let's talk about pharmacy malpractice. And in what ways could a pharmacist fill a prescription incorrectly? And how does that interact with maybe what the doctor prescribed or the hospital prescribed?
Yeah, this is a great question, Karen. So if we think about drugs, prescribed drugs, they really go through a manufacturer, right? The person, the company that makes the drug, into the hands of a physician, then into the hands of a pharmacist, then into the hands of a patient, right? So when we look at kind of the legal ways things can go wrong, the pharmacist is sort of at the end of that chain. So when you're talking about pharmacy malpractice, we're really looking for, look at what the order was for, and then did the pharmacist give the correct medication, and then they give the correct dose that was ordered, because really it's the physician that has the discretion about the dosage of the order. So that's kind of where we have to drill down when somebody calls me and says, hey, I had an adverse reaction to this drug, or I got the wrong drug, kind of where along that chain where the drug got into the patient's hands did things go wrong, if that helps.
So let's just say that you have a prescription that was filled and it has a bad, you have a bad reaction to it because you're, say, you're taking another drug that has, you know, does not sit well with that drug. Is that something the doctor should be cognizant of? Should the pharmacist be cognizant of? Or do both parties have a duty to make sure that that is not a drug that has an adverse reaction?
Well, like most answers in the legal field, it's not exactly a yes or no answer, but it is mostly on the responsibility is on the doctor to look at the side effects that are going to be derived from a drug for a patient based on their particular risk factors, other drugs they're taking, and not on the pharmacist. And that would include the duty to warn the patient. So I'm not going to get too legally, but there is a theory out there called the learned intermediary doctrine, which essentially says the physician is really the one with that primary responsibility to warn about those side effects and to be on the lookout for those type of side effects for a patient. However, under special circumstances, pharmacists who are aware of patient-specific information, for instance, for a patient that comes back to the pharmacy all the time that fills other prescriptions there and knows that this drug could be contraindicated because of other drugs the patient's on that they fill at that particular pharmacy, there can be a duty then placed on that pharmacist to say, I cannot distribute this contraindicated drug to you because I know in our system that you're also taking this. So primarily the physician, but under special circumstances, also the pharmacist.
And when you get that prescription, you know, you've got pages of small print that talk about all of the different side effects and possibilities and how you should not do certain things while you're taking the medicine. You know, how would you give advice to our listeners about how carefully that you should read that? I mean, even as a lawyer, sometimes we don't always read the fine print. So how do you expect people who get these drugs to really read and understand what's on the packaging?
Yeah, and you know, most of the time you need like a magnifying glass to see all of the all of the warnings that are on the side of the bottle or that come in that huge package insert, right? So, you know, as a patient, you always have a duty to act reasonably, and you do need to make yourself aware of side effects of drugs, but ultimately you have a right to rely on your physicians to make sure that they are prescribing the correct medication at the correct dose and that they are not placing you in harm's way with the particular side effects of a drug. But I will always say to patients that it is important for them to be aware of the side effects of a drug so they can be on the lookout for them if something starts happening after they take a drug, for instance, and then also to make sure they understand the interactions between drugs. Sometimes these pamphlets aren't great to read, so I always refer people to the internet. And while not all sources on the internet are trustworthy, all of the side effects of drugs, the black box warnings, any government-identified contraindication for a drug is listed in something called the Physician Desk Reference, which a million years ago used to be this really thick book that physicians would keep on their desk where you can look up a drug, and you can still buy it as a book. But now it's all online, so it's really accessible for patients. So you can always go to PDR.net and look up any drug you've been prescribed, and it has a very easy list of side effects and contraindications. And also drugs.com has the same information. And it's the same information you're getting in that packet's insert, but it's just a little bit more accessible than sitting down with that huge insert that you get from your drugs.
We are talking to Sarah King. She's a lawyer here in Chicago. She practices in the area of malpractice. We're talking about pharmacy malpractice, which is a subset of medical malpractice. She is with the esteemed law firm of Clifford Law Offices. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a case that she handled and how you can be careful in making sure that you and your loved ones are protected when it comes to getting your prescriptions filled. You're listening to WGN AM 720. Welcome back. We're talking to Sarah King from the Clifford Law Offices. We're talking about pharmacy malpractice. The statistics that you read about say that 1 in 10 prescriptions are filled wrongfully, whether dosage or type of medicine or some sort of a bad reaction to another drug. Just a question, Sarah. You know, when you go pick up a prescription, the pharmacist usually says, you know, do you have any questions? And I never ask the questions. I feel like that's just a routine. How are you doing? But is that something that they ask because that helps ameliorate maybe any issues or malpractice? Or is that something that are they actually qualified to answer those questions?
Yeah, so usually the person you're talking to is a pharmacist or a pharmacy tech, so their level of qualification will kind of depend on that. Some are licensed pharmacists and some are pharmacy techs. Most commercial pharmacies that we all go to, so the Walgreens, the CVSs, those type of places, have some type of policy that requires their pharmacist or tech to ask you that question. It's a good policy to have because it really does give you the opportunity to run something by them. They should answer up to their level of qualification, right? So they should be aware of other drugs that the drug will interact in, or they should know when to refer you back to your physician to say, we can't answer that question because, for instance, maybe it's too specific for your medical profile, but we encourage you to talk to your doctor before you take this medication, right? So it's a great opportunity for you as a patient to ask any questions you have, even though you might be in a hurry running in and out of your pharmacy. It's a great opportunity to think of those questions that you have about your drug, whether they can be answered there on the spot or whether you kind of need to go back to your doctor to get those questions answered.
And Sarah, without naming names of pharmacies and that, is there some sort of hierarchy of pharmacies? Like, for instance, is it better to go to the hospital pharmacy to get your prescription filled? Is it better to go to a drugstore pharmacy? Is there some idea that the pharmacists in different places are better qualified?
I think that's all patient preference. A lot of times the type of drugs you're being prescribed will dictate a little bit what type of pharmacy you can go to, right? So if it's a type of drug that's going to come out of a package, so we're going to talk about a case that involved a birth control, right? So a package drug that just gets sold at a pharmacy, really any pharmacy can sell that drug. If it's a compounded drug, so it's a drug that's being ordered at a specific dosage or diluted a specific amount, sometimes you actually can't get those drugs from those type of pharmacies. You need to go to a compounding pharmacy that might be actually in a medical facility itself, or there's several compounding pharmacies around the city where the pharmacist actually is making the drug for you, sort of custom made. So a lot of times it's the drug that's going to dictate where you can go. But a pharmacist in the state of Illinois that's licensed under the Pharmacy Practice Act should have the same level of licensure, training, and qualification, whether they're working at a commercial pharmacy or at a hospital-specific compounding pharmacy.
And let's just insert this question, because I want to go and talk about a couple of the cases that I know you worked on and were successful in resolving. But if you feel like you have been malpracticed, whether it's by a physician or a hospital or an attorney or anyone, I mean, you know, I encourage people to act quickly. And I know your office takes matters on what we call a contingency basis generally, which means that can you explain what that means just so my listeners know what that is?
Yeah, definitely. So I think pretty much all plaintiff's attorneys, so people that work on behalf of patients, on behalf of the people that are injured, that's what defines us as a plaintiff's attorney, take matters on what's called a contingency basis. So essentially, we will not get any money. We don't get paid unless money is recovered on your behalf, whether that's through a settlement or a verdict. And essentially, you won't ever owe us any money. So a lot of people call me, something bad has happened to them, and their question is, you know, could this have been prevented, right? They don't know what happened behind the scenes, right, at the pharmacy or at the hospital, and something doesn't feel right to them. So we do an investigation. And at the end of that investigation, if we find that there is no viable legal case, they're not going to owe us any money for our investigation. But if at the end of that road we find out that we should file a lawsuit, and then the lawsuit is either settled or it is tried to verdict, then a certain percentage of that amount recovered at the end is our fee. So it's contingent, our fee, so meaning it rests on them receiving compensation for their injuries. And generally speaking, most plaintiffs' firms, it's a third of what you recover is the contingent fee.
And one of the things that I always tell people is if you think something happened to you that was wrongful, it may not be a case. It may not be a case that lawyers will take. It may not be, it might have been something that was a known risk that you were advised about. But if you have a suspicion, you should act quickly, right? Because,
correct,
you know, evidence disappears. Plus, we have statutes of limitations that are very hard set in the law. And you want to talk just quickly about what that statute of limitations generally is in a case that's a malpractice case?
Yeah, so there are, generally speaking, pretty strict time limits on any type of case, but specifically malpractice cases. So, you know, a good rule of thumb and is that it's going to be 2 years from when you knew or should have known that something happened to you. So a lot of times that's going to be when you actually have the thing go wrong, right? When you have a family member die, when you have a bad outcome after a surgery and that the clock's going to start ticking. Statutes can vary based on the type of case. And there's something called a statute of repose that goes to 4 years that is a little in the weeds. But that's why your advice is absolutely correct, Karen. You really should call someone right away, a lawyer, to look into it. So a lot of times people will call me right after something happens. They need to deal with what they have going on at home, and they need to concentrate on their health. And that's why once I get the call, I kind of take over from the legal perspective. And I just have so much more time to investigate a case when people call us right away, as opposed to, you know, on the eve of that 2 years that might be expiring, where we want to make sure that person has access to justice, but we just simply don't have time to do that investigation. So definitely if something goes wrong, it's unexpected, it feels wrong, your gut instinct is this shouldn't have happened, this was routine, how could it end in, you know, my loved one's death, just make the call, let the lawyer know, you know, call me, talk to me, that you don't think this is right, and then we kind of take over the investigation from there.
And one of the things, Sarah, that I've noticed, and your firm is really good at this, I mean, sometimes people, you know, will run a case past you saying this is what happened. And, you know, your people either, you know, you have people who you refer, whether nurses and doctors, who look over the medical records and make a determination as to whether there was malpractice or if it was a known risk or what have you. But sometimes the lawyers, and you guys guys are really good when it comes to knowing medical issues almost as well as you know the law. You know, it's sometimes comforting for a loved one just to hear, you know what, this wasn't malpractice. This was something that regularly happens, whether it's an infection or something that is just standard in the community. You don't like that it went on, but it's not anything that's actionable. And I feel like people are comforted when they know the answer to that question. Do you sense that?
I do. Yes, I definitely do. I think it's just a matter of getting the medical records and understanding what happened and having somebody explain it to you, whether it rises to the level of medical negligence or not. And a lot of the cases that we review don't. And it simply involves, like you talked about, maybe a miscommunication that doesn't rise to the level of like failure to inform them. But it wasn't explained to them correctly what happened or what was going on. So a lot of times we can provide that for them, whether it's me, myself as the attorney, or getting them connected with an expert that's in the same field that can explain more thoroughly what happened. Because a lot of times I know our doctors and our pharmacists are working at a high volume where they either don't have the time to do that or they just simply didn't do that. And it can go a long way for people to really understand what happened and know one way or the other, you know, whether their loved one received a reasonable level of care.
And you know what? We just don't have time to go into some of the cases that you worked on. I thought we would, but we didn't. But I will have you back, and I think we should talk about this again. And I want to give out your name, and I'm going to give out my contact information because it's probably easier for people to remember because I give out mine every week when I'm on. It's Sarah King. She is with Clifford Law Offices. They're really a premier personal injury firm and medical malpractice firm in the state and actually in the country. And you can always reach Sarah and Bob Clifford through me, Karen Conti at WGN at KarenConti.com. And I will totally, give you a great referral over to Sarah and maybe even vet it a little bit before I give it to Sarah so she knows to expect a WGN listener to get your call. But I want to thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for joining us on this chilly Sunday evening. And I will see you very soon.
Yes, see you soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.